everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA Podcast. And welcome to our March 17th, Happy St. Patrick's Day, March Madness Podcast. And today, we get into the real action. Although, the first round games, you might say, the preliminary first round games have already taken place. Actually, the first four games of the tournament begin on Tuesday, March 15th. And they consisted of the four games involving the bottom four seeds of the automatic qualifiers and the bottom four seeds of the at-large teams. The first round then follows that on today, March 17th, and also tomorrow. So the favorites to win the tournament are Gonzaga at plus 334, Kentucky at plus 630, Arizona at plus 644. All three could win it, but here comes Duke at plus 1,100. Well, if you remember, Gonzaga made it all the way to the championship game last year, but lost to Baylor. And they'll be looking to avenge that, certainly. But I think this will be the year. I'm picking Gonzaga to win it all. Kentucky, I know. Look, they've been a perennial contender on Calipari. That's John Calipari. And they could make a Final Four run, certainly. If I recall, they last won a national championship in 2012, and they last made it to the championship game in 2014. All right. So what do we do with Arizona and Duke? Well, I'd bet Arizona early. I would bet Duke early, but this is what I would prefer that you do. I'm taking it back. This is what I am doing, all right? Since I believe that Gonzaga will win it, I'm going to start with Gonzaga with a smaller bet, and I'm going to bet them every game and just parlay my win. You know, look, I think that first one, I don't know what the odds they'll have. You could probably bet $50 to win 10 cents, you know what I mean? But you could take it on the spread or the money line. If you want to be conservative, take the money line. But just parlay it. Whatever you win, if it's 50 cents, $2.50, $3.50, $5, $10, $15, add it to the bet and bet them again, because they're going to go all the way to the championship round, Gonzaga. And if you're from the Midwest and you like Calipari, maybe try the same thing with Kentucky. Like I said, you know, go through the first few games anyway with Kentucky, because they're going to win. Now, I told you it's Gonzaga, Kentucky, Arizona, and Duke, but underneath them, I'm going to give you four more. You'd have to say Kansas at plus 1,100. Baylor at plus 1,200, Auburn at plus 1,400, and Old Faithful Villanova at plus 1,800. If there's a pretender, you know, or someone among that group, I just can't see them. Those are all legitimate basketball teams. But once you get past Kansas, I don't know. Again, I don't think Duke or Kansas will get there. So Gonzaga, Kentucky, Arizona, Duke, I don't know. I think Purdue is going to surprise some people. I think they're going to go far. And you might laugh at this one. Virginia Tech finished the season so strongly. This is in the ACC tournament, beating Notre Dame, beating North Carolina, beating Duke. And they got the automatic bid. Virginia Tech, at least early, they could shock some people. You know, it used to be that millions, maybe millions of Americans got involved with, you know, the office betting and the brackets and so on. But now with legal mobile apps in 40 states, I mean, you could have a blast on your own with this. And because on those mobile apps, you can bet as low as a dollar. So, you know, you don't have to go to a casino sports book and bet $100 every game. Well, of course you can, but I'm saying you don't have to. So it sort of democratized the entire process because you can have a lot of fun. And so, you know, you can say, hey, I got six in a row here going. But here's how I'm going to get my six in a row. I'm with Gonzaga, baby. I'm riding that pony all the way to the national championship. And you know what? Give us a call. And we'll say, hey, I want to get it marked before these games actually take place. So give us a call and give us your pick. 1-724-519-4556. 1-724-519-4556. And one final team to think about betting early, and it's not so much about the team, but about the coach, and that's Michigan State's Tom Izzo. The Spartans finished 22-12, which I guess you could, if you count it in the brackets, they're 33rd in men's college basketball. But Tom Izzo is one hell of a basketball coach. And if you see some close ones early, take the Spartans. Take the Spartans. That's my final tip of the day. And, of course, I'll add to that as time goes on. And without much of a segue, I wanted to mention a couple things from the world of sports, but not men's basketball or not women's basketball in college. How about Tom Brady coming back out of retirement? That was a little shock. And it was a real shock for Tampa Bay because word had it that they were after, believe it or not, Baker Mayfield of the Cleveland Browns. But boy, they shot that out of the water because Tommy Boy is coming back to Tampa Bay. Oh, he just can't give it up. And there's always a risk with injury, but oh, what an awesome quarterback. Whether you like him or don't like him, he is a great, great quarterback. And finally, you know, our Pittsburgh Steelers here in Western Pennsylvania, they have three quarterbacks on the roster. You know, Ben Roethlisberger, of course, is retired. I don't think he's pulling a Brady. He's done. But Mason Rudolph, Dwayne Haskins Jr., and Josh Dobbs. And just a few days ago, they traded for the backup at Buffalo, who was once a starter for the Chicago Bears, who was once a first-round draft pick. Well, we all know that Josh Allen's at Buffalo, and that game he had in the playoffs against Kansas City was so memorable, despite the fact that they lost in overtime. What an unbelievable game. But the backup quarterback there, who was the starting quarterback at Chicago, is Mitch Trubisky. And Trubisky has now come to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So when the draft occurs, are the Steelers going to go after another quarterback? Maybe that Pitt quarterback will still be available. Or are they saying, you know, we have a veteran quarterback here who maybe right now is not recognized as an elite quarterback, but who's won a lot of games and can play. And he's a proven veteran. So I'm not sure if they'll go after Kenny Pickett in the draft or not. But right now, with those other quarterbacks I named in Pittsburgh, I think it's Mitch Trubisky's job. I'm sure he'll have to, you know, earn it, as they say. But take it from an old football guy, I think there's going to be some long faces for the next few days with those reserve quarterbacks in Pittsburgh, because looks like Mitch is going to come here and be the starter. Okay, short break, and we're going to go to Krabs Talk. Yeah, 3-2-1 Krabs Talk coming your way. Hang on.
3-2-1
We have some interesting things to share with you here on Krabs Talk. We had a phone call from our voicemail number that I gave you, and I'll repeat it later in the podcast. And it was a young lady from Maryland who had just played craps twice, she said. She's new to craps. But, you know, she heard discussion, and she wanted to know, is there such a thing as dice control? So I dealt with that. I dealt with that on the Facebook group, and boy, oh, boy, you know, it's almost like Dems and Republicans. I mean, Hatfield and McCoys, buddy. And I gave my take, which is very different, you know. But anyway, we'll come back to a little bit of that today, too, in Krabs Talk, and tell you where we are with that discussion. It was civil enough because it was in text. Well, anyway, we did get a call on a Krabs strategy, and I wanted to play it for you and then comment on it, because I was asked to comment on it. So here we go.
Hey, Coach. My name is Tyler from Macon, Georgia, and I'm just calling to ask you about a craps strategy that I've been using, and it's been quite effective. I want to get your thoughts on it. So it's called the No Soft 4 strategy. So you probably had something like this. But anyway, the gist of it is, assume you're at a $5 table. You'll make a $5 bet on the 5, 6, 8, 9. I mean, 6 on the 6 and 8, but pretty much the same thing. And then you'll make a $15 hard 4 bet. Then you'll lay $80 against the 4. So with this setup, the only thing that kills you is a soft four. So if a seven is rolled, even factoring in the zig, you'll still come out $3 ahead on a seven. And with a hard four, you'll come out about $23 ahead. And then, obviously, you got the inside numbers covered, so there's that. But what do you think about that strategy? I mean, I think it's pretty solid. I mean, there's only a 5.6% chance of a soft four rolling at any given time. I mean, obviously, that will kill you. You'll lose about $95 if you do roll a soft four. But other than that, I mean, you're golden. So anyway, hope you're doing good. Hope to hear about this on the podcast. Thanks.
Well, Tyler, thank you for your call. And hey, the Peach State, Georgia, man, what a great place. What a great football team you had this year, too, there, young man. But anyway, I like it. And I've done many things like this. You were talking about a $5 table. I'm going to have to change that because they're almost non-existent. I hope $10 tables don't disappear the way it's going. But, you know, so you have 44 inside on a $10 table, and then you can still go with the $15 on a hard four. But now if you wanted to cover yourself completely, you would have to lay on the four $120, you know, and then because you have $59 at risk with the 44 and the 15. So to cover all that, you'd need to lay $120, which if you're not familiar with lay bets, it's true odds. So when you're talking about 4 and 10, you get half of what you bet, right? And, you know, if you, on the other side of that equation, if you buy the 4 and 10, you get twice as much as what you bet. So it's true odds. So $120 lay would pay you $60, you know, plus the big. Hey, the house has to make some money on every bet. Let's be honest. And truthfully, you know, thinking about that Hardaway's bet, that would only pay you $105, so you'd have to go to a $20 Hardaway's bet on the four to get past that 120 lay bet that you have. So that would be my changes. And I don't think there's anything wrong with this at all, unless you're just fearful of risking a four rolling. And sometimes, you know, the four and 10 as point numbers, sometimes you just like figure, I'm so safe, because if they came up as a point number, you'd probably, and you were the shooter or you were a pass line better at the table, you'd think, oh, God, no. And then other times, they just keep coming, you know, four, and then the next number's a 10, then there's a four, then there's a 10, then there's a four, then there's a 10. You know, it's just, so, you know, statistically, you're right. You know, they shouldn't appear that frequently. However, they do, and that's the risk you're taking. But it's a great concept, and I think, what I would recommend is don't worry about covering the complete bed. Just hedge it so it doesn't sting that much. So, you know, stay with your $15 hard way bet on a four, because if it does hit, you don't lose anything. I mean, you lost a little bit of money. You lost $15, you know. But if you want to cover everything, then it gets more expensive. So, you know, craps is designed in such a way that, you know, You just have to take some risk, and you're never totally free of risk, generally speaking. So there are points, you know, where you own the table and everything out there is profit. That's a little different. But when you're starting out, it's a little risky to lose that. But the way people are doing this today, your risk isn't so bad. I mean, statistically, you're in a good place by laying fours, laying tens. And you're right. The inside numbers are the ones to bet in. You are covering, or close to covering, depending on what you do at a $10 table. $5 table, I like what you're doing. You know, it's good. I hope people try it and comment on it. The other thing I guess you could do is you could go play the Iron Cross from that too. You know, you at the $5 table, even you know, instead of inside numbers on the four, on the 5, 6, 8, and 9, just go 5, 6, 8. And play the field with that second $5 instead of betting the 9, you know. And you can always, there's just so many things you can do with the system that you're talking about. So, hey, I'm going to give you a pat on the back. Yeah, I definitely think that's something you can do. And I think it's all about assuming that risk right there. There are a lot of people that I play with that lay the 4 on the come-out roll, even though they're pass line bettors. So you tell me why they do that, but, you know, they want that money. And just one final comment on this, Tyler, and you could give us a call back because I'd like to know what you do about this. Let's say you're using your system on a $5 table and you're winning. You know, you're winning. And when do you stop making that lay bet? Because you're up already. And you know what? If you lost that, if a regular four was rolled and you lost that lay bet, it would hurt you. So at a certain point, I guess you can say, take my advice, at a certain point when you're up, you're self-insured. or don't lay as much, you know, just take away a little bit of the risk and don't risk all of that. That's the other thing I would add to what you're saying. So soft fours, beware. They do pop up, unfortunately, when you're on laying the four, but you're covering the hard four, and there's a very good chance you're going to be successful against most shooters. And the final change, not necessarily a change, but another option that you would have is you could take three hits, and take everything off. Take down your lay bet. You'll get your vig back if you paid it beforehand. Take everything off. You could put a off button. I'm going to put an off button on your hard ways bet just to save some time when you go back on. But, that's, you know, three hits, even at a $5 table, you know, look, you win $15, $16, $17 from each shooter, go around the table, pretty soon, you know, you're over $100. Pretty soon you're over $200. I mean, I do that a lot of times. I just count the people at the table and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to get two hits off this dude, and I'm going to come down, you know, or I'm going to get three hits. And then, of course, if he starts a long roll, starts making points, you can do it back on. That's the thing. So you can always take a lay bet down, and you can take everything else down, of course, except the pass line. That's the contract bet you can't take. And if you do use the don't pass for this system, you can take the don't pass. You can pick that bet up too. So those are things to think about. But I appreciate your system. I think it's a good one. And don't be a stranger, Tyler. Call the show again and consider joining our Facebook group. We can have some extended conversations with several people who are craps fanatics, including me. Okay. I said I wanted to mention, talking about dice control last time, that, you know, I believe in dice influence, not dice control. I think it's just wrong to tell people that you can control dice. But here's an expression that's used at one of the strip casinos where my grandson works, and it's this: the back wall is what makes the call. So the back wall does make the call, because if dice hit the back wall, almost everything you did as a dice controller just went up. You know, and I'm not saying it does every time, but that's why dice control is permitted in casinos, because you have to have the dice hit the back wall to be legal. We all know that if you've been hitting the back wall and you miss one, they'll let it go probably. But it's the back wall that flips those dice over, and that changes everything. So it's not a game of skill. It's a game of chance because of that back wall. But the skill comes in, as I appreciate with Tyler, in creative betting, you know, making bets, making hedge bets of all kinds, you know, betting less when you're behind and more when you get ahead, pressing when you get ahead. Don't be so piggish, you know, at some point. Remember, every eight rolls, a seven is likely to show, if not sooner. So, hey, a couple hits and get out of town, unless the table gets hot, and then that's different. Okay, we're going to go to our third and final segment of the day, and we're going to talk about putting these three things together. You know, basketball, March Madness for men and for women is so exciting. If you're a basketball fan, I think it's more exciting than professional basketball. That's my value about it. Also, table games or slots, you can watch games off television monitors throughout the casino. And you can go to the sports book and have a seat and enjoy a game. I mean, those are, it's a happening place. Doing March Madness is a happening place. And JD and I did a little traveling over the years, and one of our trips, we just checked out sports books because they were new in most states. And JD wanted to talk about her favorites before we close the podcast down. So short break, we'll come back and we'll bring JD in, and she'll tell you about some of her favorite sports books and some of her experiences with March Madness. We've had quite a few. Okay, hang on. We'll be back shortly. So we're going to talk a little bit about sports betting for this March Madness. And the information we're getting is from the American Gaming Association, which obviously is the trade outfit that represents the casinos in the country. And they anticipate this will be the largest amount of money bet during March Madness, legally, I'm talking about, because there are several new states coming into play. Now, some states, it's really hard to understand, but some states, they have sports betting that's legal, but only at the casino. So that's one thing. And then other states have legalized sports betting at casinos as well as mobile apps. And there's a couple states that only have mobile apps, so you take your choice. But we'll list those before we're done with this segment. But imagine this. The American Gaming Association expects a total of $3.1 billion will be bet this year. $3.1 billion. And some of that will be money that has to be made at a sports book. Now, Janie uses both mobile apps and sports books, but she really does enjoy sports books. So let me get you her take.
Hi, everyone. It's Jane. I'm remembering back 2 years ago, before COVID actually broke out everywhere, we did a trip to southern Indiana at the very end of February because we wanted to see what was happening in our three favorite casinos there with sports books. And I was so excited at the time then because Belterra was in a state of Indiana. Let me go back. In the state of Indiana, you didn't have to have all the gaming just on the boats anymore, on the riverboats. You could have them on land, which Belterra switched and put their sports book, which was brand new, in the part of the old lobby area, entrance to the casino. So that was brand new. Then we went up the river to Rising Star, saw their sports book, which they were kind of just in the beginning of putting together. It wasn't very large, but they said they were working on it. Then we went further upriver to Hollywood at Lawrenceburg, which had the best of the three sports books at that time. Now, remember, this was 2 years ago, 2020. Because theirs has a full restaurant in it. You know, they're involved with food service. They have a bar called 99 Beers.
I wanted to mention, I just came across them. They're charging, there's not that many seats in it other than the bar and booths.
Well, there's some tables.
There's some, but yeah. they want $360 for, you know, a watch party. And a booth they say could hold 6 to 8 people. So, you know.
Well, that's a going rate.
That's pretty much the going rate, I agree.
Yeah, too much. There's probably some that are a lot more. But that, at the time, and again, we haven't been back for 2 years due to COVID. So we haven't been there to see what other improvements have been made. But of those three, when we came home, I was just so excited because March Madness was going to begin. And then it all got squashed with COVID and none of that, you know, it didn't occur with fans and didn't occur in a lot of teams. It was awful. So now we're back in full swing and I'm very excited again. And I can see that the general public is because now we have sports betting that's legal in a lot more states.
Well, here's an example. We went to Maryland Live, wasn't that long ago. And
Maryland, that was in November.
Yeah, and everyone wanted to know about sports betting, but we discovered now that sports betting will be legal for the first time, missed the Super Bowl in Maryland, for March Madness. However, you have to be at a casino.
Right, you can't do it online.
They didn't do it
like
legal.
We can do it in Pennsylvania.
Right, they didn't do legal. Right. But you know what? Maryland Live in Maryland and Live Pittsburgh in Westmoreland County near us, they both have very nice sports books. I mean, so I
right.
think there's nothing like it, I think, being in a sports book.
Yeah, it's really fun. Even if you've never been in one or if you don't even like college basketball, it's just a competitive feeling that you get when you're in there. I find that I meet people, fans of the opposing team that I'm cheering for or fans that are cheering for the same team I am. You can have some good conversations in these sports books. And to me, it's just really so much fun.
Well, I know we watched Kentucky at a sports book, and Kentucky basketball has been pretty dominant.
Oh, yeah. We
since
watched
Calipari.
It in southern Indiana.
And we found
right
out
on the state border of
they have a coach.
Kentucky.
Yeah, they have a coach. The Kentucky fans have a coach that they have a target on. They can't stand him. They know he's a good coach, but they can't stand him.
Oh, they admit that, but they don't like
him. And it's Tom Izzo from Michigan State.
Yeah, we had royal conversations, arguments about the coaching staffs at some of these schools, but all in, you know, good fun and such.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot of fun. You know, and there's just something about being there. I think it's even better than being in a football stadium.
Yeah. Well, I think it's better than being at the actual game.
Yeah.
Because, first of all the monitors, you get to see a lot. Those games are all taking place at the same time. You get to see four at one time, you know, and you get all different people involved.
Well, and also the furnishings at sports books are very comfortable.
Oh, well, usually the chairs you can sit in to watch the TVs, or you can sit at the bar. But we find that that's just a really, really fun place to be.
I have to make a correction. I've been saying for months now there's 40 states that have legalized gambling, and that's not true. There's 30, and that includes the ones just added this year. So let me correct myself with that. And D.C., Washington, D.C. also, District of Columbia has legal sports betting too. But I can't give you a hard and fast rule. Again, some states it's only in a sports book. Some states it's both.
Right. Yeah, you just have to find out yourself, you know, where what's allowable, what's not, and it does vary from state to state.
You know, the other thing is people thought that a lot of these casinos were going to get saturated and they'd be out of business, but because of the growth of sports betting across 30 states, these casinos are making a ton of money. They all were healthy, you know, because sports betting just involves so many people. And let me ask you this question. I know you're much more comfortable betting legally at a sports book or online with an approved site than the old thing of knowing a bookie in a neighborhood.
Well, I never dealt with a bookie, so
I think a lot of people.
I don't think I ever would either.
No, I think a lot of Americans feel that way because it's, you know, the money's
right,
not going
I,
to.
I don't delve in any illegal activities, so no, this is fun and it's all legal and above board. I would just like to put in here. You mentioned about favorite sports books. It's when you talk about Las Vegas area, it's hard to come up with some favorite ones, but I would have to say Bally's is one of my favorites because on their lower level, they have stadium seating. You look right down into it. It's very large, and it's right across from a food court.
Yeah, it's right across from Nathan's Hot Dogs.
Yeah, and we both like those. You can't get much better than that one. That one's fun. Excalibur always had a nice one.
And the Wynn.
Well, the Wynn.
The Wynn is unbelievable.
The Wynn and Encore, yeah. They all have. It's fun for me. Now, here's one of my tips. When you are visiting casinos, go to the sports books. Just see what they're like. We haven't been to the new hotel, Casino Circa, in downtown Las Vegas.
And everybody talks about that
one, and it's amazing. I think you can swim and watch this all at the same time.
Yeah, you can. Right, so you can place a bet, go up to the pool, and there you go.
Yeah, I could spend a whole day, well, 2 days maybe, going into downtown Fremont Street and looking at all the sports books and then going back to the strip and looking, not to mention even the off-strip ones.
And the way you love swimming pools, I understand.
Well, yeah, I think, to me that's just fun, just comparing them.
Well, just to summarize, you know, according to the bookies across the country, here's the three favorites, and I don't agree with them. 17% of the people who are betting on the winner are picking Gonzaga. That's my pick.
Well, that is your pick, yeah.
Okay. They also, 12%, can you imagine this? Duke did not win the ACC tournament.
But Coach K's leaving. This is the last hurrah, and, you know, emotions play a big part in this. His kids might want to do it for him.
Okay, I might eat crow later, but I doubt it. I'm going to make an announcement right here and now that Duke will not be the national champion.
Okay. Okay.
Kentucky maybe, though. Duke, 12% of the bets so far have been on Duke to win it, and Kentucky, 11%. I'm going to say, if I was going to pick a dark horse, I'd pick Kansas. I think Kansas could win it. They're a great basketball team. And if I wanted to pick a dark, dark, dark horse just because they finished the ACC tournament so strong, they beat Notre Dame, they beat North Carolina, and they beat Duke, is Virginia Tech. That's my dark, dark, dark horse.
Okay. Well, I do think Kentucky with John Calipari always has a chance.
Calipari is a great
basketball coach,
and he's obviously a great recruiter.
And his kids love him. So there's a lot of emotion that goes into these games. And it's not even like regular – It's like hockey playoffs, you know. Everybody, they seem to play superhuman in those playoffs.
It's a different game.
It's just a totally different game.
It's a different
game. And that's how the NCAA tournament is. And now, you have not talked, and having been a female basketball coach,
yeah,
about the women's tournament. It's going on at the same time, too.
Yeah, I'm going to.
And that's, you see some very good basketball in there.
Yeah, I'm going to say Notre Dame women will not win it. But I'm going to.
But they're going to look good.
They're going to look
good.
They're
a five seed.
But there's a coach at Louisville that could win it. I think there's a lot of teams that could win it.
Oh, yeah. There are. And they're just as much fun to watch as the men's team. So take a look at some of them if you never have.
Yeah, I'll come back in 2 weeks as that thing gets going and pick up the winners. But I'm just not strong enough yet to make my determination. But I'm going to ride that Gonzaga pony all the way to the national championship. Do you have a favorite, Janie?
No, not this year, I don't.
I have to ask you another question. Why Gonzaga? Because I want to talk about it. Like, how can this little school in California be so dominant in men's basketball?
I can't answer that. Obviously, it goes back to coaching. There's a good coach. I guess I would say I have a favorite, but they probably aren't going to win, is Loyola Chicago, because Sister Jean is coming to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's
she's a 102-year-old nun that supports that team and is, I think, has been with the school for years. And she's just fun to watch. And so is that team. They play like maniacs when they do play. So I like them.
Well, the Gonzaga offensive structure, you know, a lot of players won't play structured basketball. You know, they'll do the pick and roll, they'll do dribble penetration, but they won't go for a completely disciplined approach to offense, because in high school they did whatever they wanted, you know. But that coach recruits kids that will do it at Gonzaga,
mm-hmm.
And I have not seen a college team in the last few years that gets as many layups off their offense. Everybody's
right.
Thinking about threes, and they shoot threes.
Well, they do.
But they get so many points up layups because they run disciplined offense and bang there to the board by themselves.
Yeah, they are very disciplined. So, and I would say that's probably, and because they've done so well, obviously the recruiting goes well, and that, you know, that's a cycle where, you know, when you do well, you recruit better players,
yeah,
the best players.
Okay, well, everybody has their favorites. You pick yours, and if you want to make a comment as the tournament goes on, please give us a call, you know, one more time. The voicemail that we use is 1-724-519-4556. Just give your name and the state you're calling from, and you have 5 minutes to make your points, and we'll use it on future podcasts. Okay, so, Jane, we have to remind everybody that Casinos USA is still a place
where
every day is
Saturday.
Thanks for listening. See you in a couple weeks.